Chronically Happy, Joyful Living in Spite of a Chronic Illness by Laurie Hartwell. Read by Wendy Carter, Stephen First, and Scott Brick. With an introduction read by the author.
People are like stained glass windows. They sparkle and shine when the sun is out, but when the darkness sets in, their true beauty is revealed only if there is light from within. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross.
Chronically Hopeful, an audio foreword by Scott Brick. When I was in high school, my friends used to say, "Scott's got the secret to happiness." Technically, this wasn't true. First of all, it wasn't a secret, and second, I was far from the only one who had it. As I told anyone who asked, you can choose to be happy. If you're unhappy, then choose differently. When I hit college, as often happens, life challenged my strongest convictions. I was 19 years old when I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. My first thought was, oh, it's the pill-taking kind of diabetes, right? That's no big deal. No, sorry, it's the insulin-taking kind, my doctor replied. Oh, drag. So that'll just mean coming in here a few times a week and you'll give me a shot, right? No, sorry, you'll be giving yourself the shots. Giving myself every day. Every day? Twice a day. It was the chronic nature of my illness that daunted me. Twice, and sometimes thrice daily insulin injections, a half dozen or so daily blood sugar tests, countless hours devoted to exercise so I could avoid health complications and side effects, and an endless amount of time worrying about imminent insulin reactions that could be dangerous, even deadly, if not immediately addressed. This was going to be my burden, my life for the next 60 years or so. Suddenly, I found the day-to-day choice to be happy a very difficult one to practice. I worked in a bookstore at the time, so I naturally turned to the shelves to navigate my way through this new minefield. I read everything related to the disease that I could find. What I was looking for in those pages wasn't just day-to-day details that could help me manage my illness, but rather words of advice that would help me handle the emotional side of diabetes. How could I do all this and still remain positive? I had chosen happiness for the first 2 decades of my life, and I didn't want to give that up now. Sadly, the books were all bogged down with medical terminology, completely devoid of emotional advice. On the rare occasions I found books that handled the emotional component of things, there was precious little that applied to my own life. These were all memoirs of someone else's walk with the disease, and as I was coming to realize, everyone's illness is different. It's different because it's mine. These books were cathartic for their authors, but not at all what I was looking for. One day I multiplied the amount of times I injected myself or tested my blood sugar per day with the amount of days I would conceivably live and got rocked to my foundations. Suddenly I longed to hear someone tell me how to keep a positive attitude while giving myself any of a staggering 65,000 injections or 131,000 blood tests I could expect to administer in my lifetime. How do you keep smiling when life reminds you day by day, shot by shot, that you're not where you want to be health-wise, life-wise? Couldn't someone explain it to me, lay it all out with action steps I could follow? Where was that kind of advice? Sadly, I was 20 years away from meeting Laurie Hartwell. The day she showed up in my living room to discuss recording this book, I was immediately struck by her vitality, by her overwhelming excitement about life, despite the horrible times she's had to go through in her own walk with illness. It was her ability to choose happiness despite her circumstances that struck me that day, which resonated so strongly with the memories from my youth. I understood instinctively that this was a woman with the answers I'd sought so long ago. I ultimately navigated my own way through that emotional minefield 20 years ago, and found a way to keep my happiness and sanity during the daily grind. Yet I still wonder how different my life and outlook would be had I met Laurie a few decades earlier, had I read this book when I was diagnosed. Lori's book, Chronically Happy, is delightful and is everything I looked for all those years ago. It has useful, how-to advice on maintaining happiness in the dreariest, direst conditions. It is a practical guide to help you through the drudgery that accompanies chronic illness. I'm inspired by Lori's book. Moreover, I'm inspired by her. When it comes right down to it, her book and her life are interchangeable. What she writes about, she lives. The amazing thing about this book is that it applies as easily to the lives of people who've just been diagnosed, or are old, grizzled veterans like myself, who sometimes feel jaded by life's lessons and our frustrations at dealing with them. No matter what your illness or how long you've had it, you'll find a better way of maneuvering through life's pitfalls in these pages. A happier way. A more hopeful way. Trust me when I say, Lori Hartwell has the real secret of happiness, especially for those of us who live with illness every day. And thankfully, she's sharing her secret with everyone. Scott Brick, November 2009. Introduction by Lori Hartwell.
Almost half of all Americans live with at least one chronic condition. That's an estimated 133 million people. I was stunned to read the statistic, which was reported by the Center for Disease Control back in 2005. They went on to estimate that the number was projected to increase by more than 1% per year. Though I had no idea so many people like me were living with chronic conditions, I had long been convinced that our numbers were growing. At the same time, I noticed that the resources available to us weren't meeting a vital need. Quite a bit had been written about getting through an illness, but I realized few works had been dedicated to living a joyful, full life in spite of a disease. For nearly four decades, I had lived through dialysis, dozens of surgeries, unsuccessful transplants, and the constant pokes and prods of every medical instrument known to humankind. My kidneys began to deteriorate when I was 2 years old. By the time I turned 12, they shut down completely and were removed. I was left to depend on a dialysis machine to remove liquid waste and extra fluids from my body. During the next several years, I was fortunate enough to receive a donor not once, but twice, and unfortunate enough to reject both. The final blow came when my doctors told me my chances were slim to none that I would ever undergo a successful transplant. I was in my young 20s when I heard the news, and I felt as if my life had been pulled out from under me. All the years I'd spent living with a chronic disease had finally caught up with me. I came to realize that I would likely have to spend the rest of my days chained to dialysis. I felt isolated, alone, and angry as hell. I didn't know it at the time, but it was the anger that ignited my emotional healing. It led me to the realization that I had two choices: sink further into bitterness and despair, or beat the odds and live the fullest life I could with the time I had left. I thought hard, weighed the options, and chose life. I started discovering little tricks that made living easier, principles I will share with you throughout this book. My goal was quality of life, and to achieve it, I knew I had to take care of the whole me. The strategies I devised honor both my body and my spirit and have enabled me each day to continue making the choice of life. One day in 1990, as I camped with my friends in the fresh air of Southern California mountains, I received life-changing news. My transplant center called me because they had found me a kidney and told me to get to the hospital right away. Though haunted by past disappointments and discouraging medical statistics, I decided to go for it. Nearing the age of 24, I didn't want to live the rest of my life dependent on a machine if I didn't have to. That transplant turned out to be a perfect match. My kidney continues to work beautifully and has allowed me freedom that I appreciate every day. I will be forever grateful to my organ donor and his family's brave and selfless decision to give me the gift of life. Although an unspeakable blessing, transplantation is not a cure. It is just one form of treatment for kidney failure. I must take medication every day and have been diagnosed with some additional illnesses. I also live with the knowledge that at any time my body could reject the kidney and I would have to return to dialysis. There are millions of other Americans riding the same physical and emotional roller coaster of a chronic illness. We all share common threads of emotion: anger, guilt, fear of the unknown, depression, and the mind-boggling question, why me? I wrote Chronically Happy to help people face these feelings and abandon the crippling mental barriers that go hand in hand with chronic disease. The stories, suggestions, and principles set forth in this book reflect the twists and turns I've traveled along my journey. My greatest hope is that you will join me in searching for those precious nuggets, those simple steps you can take that will help you realize your dreams.